The rebellion in Libya may be at a crossroad. Government troops today bombarded the outskirts of Benghazi. That's the main rebel stronghold in the east. That shows that the government of Muammar Gaddafi is moving closer to a military victory. The rebels have been pleading for outside help, and they may get it. The United Nations Security Council is expected to vote today on a resolution authorizing a no-fly zone over Libya. A draft of the measure also calls for all necessary measures against the Gaddafi regime. Colm Lynch covers the United Nations for the Washington Post and foreign policy. In this resolution, when it refers to in the draft all necessary measures taken against the Gaddafi regime, what does that refer to?
For the first time, the latest text, which is likely to be voted on, talks about Benghazi, and I can read it to you. I've got it in front of me. It says that it would authorize member states to take all necessary measures to protect civilians and civilian populated areas under the threat of attack in the Libyan Arab Jamahiriya, including Benghazi, while excluding an occupation force. The council is going to be authorizing extreme sweeping authority for military intervention and the use of force, but as long as they stop short of a formal occupation of the country, they'll be okay.
But that doesn't mean they're stopping short of airstrikes. In fact, that's what it sounds like it's calling for.
It sounds like it's calling for that. There's other language which explicitly talks about the implementation of a no-fly zone. And again, there's more language that follow up in the resolution, which again says that states can undertake all necessary measures, which is code language for the use of force here, to enforce that. And that means potentially attacking airfields, shooting down Libyan fighter jets, hitting, you know, sort of anti-aircraft battery. It's not clear exactly what they intend to do, but this would clearly give you legal authority to do pretty much anything you wanted to do.
And you meaning it would be members, not just the United States, but any members of the United Nations, but would it fall on the U.S.'s shoulders?
The way that this text is drafted, it's essentially designed to signal that the Arab League, which was the main regional organization that called for the no-fly zone, is sort of placed at the center of all this. I mean, everybody knows that will probably largely be Western fighter jets enforcing this, but they've tried to create the sort of impression that this is a multilateral effort, that the Arabs are at the center of it, that they want this, and that they will also likely be European fighters, the British, the French, and likely the United States. I don't know the degree of U.S. involvement in it, but I would suspect that they would be deeply involved in this. There's questions about whether Germany will sign on.
What's the reason for that, and what are the other stumbling blocks?
I mean, for the Germans, it's the main reason that they use is that they think that another intervention in an Islamic state, you know, after Iraq and Afghanistan, would actually strengthen Gaddafi's hands. It would allow him to make the case that he is, once again, the victim of colonial efforts to control and dominate Libya, and that he is the defender, the last defender of national sovereignty, that the rebels are all, you know, agents of the West. And so it plays into his rhetoric.
What's the response to that?
The response to that is that, you know, everybody is watching day in and day out that Gaddafi is claiming more and more territory, and that the resistance as it is, as such, is not going to last very long unless something dramatic happens.
Okay, one final question. Is there any doubt now that this, along with saying it would authorize a no-fly zone over Libya, it's also calling for all necessary measures to be taken against Gaddafi, that this is calling for military intervention in Libya?
The diplomats here have sought to downplay any prospect that there would be a serious foreign outside Western military intervention. The resolution is quite clear in creating authorization for the international community to do things like protect humanitarian corridors, humanitarian deliveries. There's a lot of pieces to this that they're seeking specific authorization to do, but you know, the arguments that everybody has made is that that this is not about a massive foreign intervention, boots on the ground, that they might be limited foreign activity. They may seize ports, seaports. They may seize airports and use that as a kind of rationale for bringing in humanitarian goods and supplies. But beyond that, They're hinting that they're not going to do it, but once you start down this path, you don't know where you're going to end.
All right. Thank you, Colm Lynch, who covers the United Nations for the Washington Post. He also writes a Turtle Bay blog for foreign policy. Speaking to us from the UN. Thank you, Colm.
Thank you very much, Lisa. It was a pleasure.